When we come here for a certain reason. Maybe we ask ourselves, what is the meaning of our life? What is the purpose of our life? What do we want to do? I mean, if we are Buddhist or if we believe the teaching of the Lord Buddha, then we know, I mean, this life is just one of many. I mean, we lived so many lives, billions of lives. I mean, whatever we've been, I mean, we went through all these 31 realms of the existence already, I mean, we've been, from the smallest animals, I mean, from ants, or mosquitoes, I mean, big animals, maybe elephants or horses or, or cows or whatever, or dogs, wolves, I mean, we went through all these lives, So, I mean, once we understand, I mean, the human life is the jumping board, It is the easiest, realm of existence, from the 31 realm of existence, to get out of the circle of death, and birth and death, I mean, I call it, people call it samsara vata, but I call it, hamster wheel, because it's so picturesque, I mean, you see the hamster running, but not going anywhere, And that's us, I mean, we're walking one life after the other, but we actually not going anywhere, we make no progress, But there's a door, And the door of the hamster wheel is, when we open the door, and get out, that is what is called sotapanna or stream entry, That's where we make sure that we don't go into the hamster wheel forever. And if we think about our life, what is the purpose of our life, or what is our aim, At least, in this human life, we should aim, we should aim for getting out. Otherwise, there is no end to it, We have to be clear about this, And the end is not, I mean, the next life is not a human life. We should be sure about that, I mean, it is very, very seldom, that our next life is a human life. Because if we, if we get a human life, I mean, we have to keep the five precepts, That is a prerequisite for our human life, For life in the heaven, the prerequisites are even higher, I mean, they include the five precepts. But they also, include a lot of generosity and respect and gratitude, Without that, we cannot even go to heaven. We can go back to the human life. But if we don't keep the five precepts, we go down. Maybe if we are lucky, we are born as a ghost, That is even luckier, than going to hell, Or going into the animal realm where we kind of get stuck for billions of years, What did the Lord Buddha say, I mean, the animals, how difficult it is to get out of the animal realm, I mean, if a turtle, if a sea turtle dives up, through the oceans, and there's one ring, and the ocean is big, and when does it hit the ring, When it dives up every 100 years, it dives up, does it catch the ring, does it go through the ring, That's when we come back from the animal realm. So, I mean, nobody wants to go to the animal realm. It is very difficult. And when you see all these animals, I mean, they're in such a sorrow state. And we have been there. But we have been also to hell. I mean, so often. I mean, if somebody tells us you go to hell, I mean, we feel afraid, Because we know how it is. We have experienced it so often, If somebody talks about a very terrible land of Pakaduka, nobody of us feels afraid. But if somebody says, there's hell, and we go to hell, everybody of us feels afraid because we have experienced it, Our chitta knows it. And we don't want to go there. We want to find, we want to find a way out. And that's, that what draws people, to the Buddhist religion, That what draws people, to a teacher, who can who can teach us the way out, yeah? And this is something that we should take, yeah? We should take the opportunity. I know, it is difficult. It seems to be difficult, yeah? Because, I mean, all these playthings that we have now, yeah? We don't only have the smartphone, yeah? But we have computers, and we have so many playthings, yeah? I mean, we just waste our life, you know, playing around with this and playing around with that, yeah? At the time of the Lord Buddha, there was not much to play around with, yeah? Huh? So, I mean, people, you know, today's Magaputta, yeah? I mean, he gave an Ovada Patimok, you know, for 1,250 arahants, yeah? So at this time, you know, there were a lot of arahants, yeah? Of course, they were born, you know, because of their good merit, you know, at the time of the Lord Buddha, so he could teach them. Yeah? We don't have that good merit, you know, I mean, we have to look for a teacher, you know, who can show us the way. Yeah? And it is not easy to find one. So, I mean, at that time, you know, they were farmers, or they were hunters, or they were soldiers, yeah? Yeah? That what was the occupation, but they had lots of ample time, yeah? They didn't have these playthings, yeah, that we have, you know, that we kill our time with. Huh? And smartphone is the worst thing, you know, the worst thing ever invented, yeah? Huh? But it is to keep us distracted from the truth, yeah? It keeps us off the truth, yeah? It keeps us, you know, busy all the time, and we don't see, yeah? We don't see the first noble truth, yeah? The first noble truth is, yeah? Tukha. Yeah? Tukha Arya Satya. Tukha is the first noble truth. Yeah? And it starts already with the Buddha, with the body. Hmm? Well, in the morning we wake up and we don't want to get up, you know, I mean, it's already Tukha. Yeah? Then we are hungry, it's Tukha. Yeah? We are thirsty, it's Tukha. Yeah? And we need to go to the toilet. Ah, it's a lot of Tukha. Yeah? To relieve ourselves, and then it's Sukha. Yeah? When we can relieve ourselves. When we can't relieve ourselves, it's even more dukkha. Yeah? Then we get tired, yeah? It's already dukkha. Yeah? If we are really tired, we can't concentrate and we need to do something, you know, it's a lot of dukkha. Yeah? And for the body, you know, we only know, you know, the things how to overcome this dukkha. Yeah? So when we're hungry, we eat, you know, when we're tired, we sleep, yeah? When we're thirsty, we drink, yeah? And when we need to go to the toilet, we relieve ourselves, yeah? So we don't see the dukkha, yeah? But that is only the dukkha of the body that we have every day, yeah? But to make this clear to us, yeah? The dukkha of the body does not give us any sukha. It is wrong if we think, you know, eating is sukha, yeah? If eating is sukha, why don't you eat the whole day? Huh? Huh? Because you have to throw up, huh? You get sick, yeah? So it cannot be sukha, yeah? It is only the way, you know, how to relieve ourselves of dukkha. Once we are full, you know, that is the end. We don't want to eat anymore, yeah? Because, I mean, the dukkha of the body has gone, yeah? That's the same with sleep, you know? We can't sleep for 24 hours. When we think sleeping is, you know, sukha, yeah? I mean, try to sleep for 24 hours. There's a lot of dukkha then, yeah? But when you sleep, you know, for 8 hours or 6 hours, you know, I mean, yes, you feel refreshed, yeah? But if you sleep longer, you feel tired, you know, and then you can't, yeah? You can't lie down, you know, you get restless, yeah? So, I mean, these things are not sukha. The body does not give us any sukha, yeah? The heart gives us sukha, yeah? When we think about something that is exciting, you know, I mean, or something that is nice or beautiful or... then it is sukha in our heart, yeah? And the heart is also that feels dukkha. But that dukkha comes from our desires, from wanting this or from wanting that, from not liking this or from not liking that. Yeah? That's where the dukkha of the heart comes. And that is much more difficult to relieve ourselves of, yeah? Because then we would have to relieve ourselves of the desire, yeah? And in order to relieve ourselves of the desire, the Lord Buddha gave us the Eightfold Path, yeah? The path of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, yeah? So the Sila, keeping the five precepts when we are in the world, or keeping the eight precepts when we are in the monastery, yeah? This is the basis foundation, yeah? If somebody, you know, even if at home, you know, and doesn't keep the Sila perfectly, he will have a hard time, you know, getting into samadhi. Yeah? Because then the fault, you know, the fault of, you know, breaking the sila will always come up, you know, and will hinder him, you know, to get into samadhi. Yeah? So if you keep, you know, Even 2 months ago, you know, we did something, yeah, but from now on we keep the sila and that's fine, yeah. And then we can see, you know, for the last 2 weeks I kept the sila, so I mean it's fine. I don't have to worry about anything, yeah. And now I can go into samadhi. And the samadhi is this important thing, yeah. Samadhi, there's two things there, yeah, that we have to understand. The samadhi is concentration, one, and it is the development of sati, the development of knowing what we observe, yeah. The observing is, you know, either with the Buddha or with the breath, yeah. And it should be at one point, yeah. The Buddha is already one point, yeah. But the breath should be the point around the nose where we feel the breath, yeah, no strongest, yeah. In the beginning we feel the breath, yeah. When the mind becomes, you know, calmer and calmer and calmer, then we know the breath more, yeah. But most of the people, you know, I mean, when the mind gets calmer, then they go onto the feeling of calm, and then the samadhi is gone. Yeah. Oh, this is such a nice feeling, you know, and let's go to enjoy this feeling. Yeah. And then the feeling is gone. Yeah. That's why I always, you know, say, you know, I mean, samadhi is digging, it's just like digging a hole. As long as we dig, the hole gets deeper and deeper and deeper. The moment we stop digging and look at the hole, oh, it's so nice and deep, you know, it fills up. Yeah? And that is the same thing what happens with us. And when we get into samadhi and, you know, instead of, you know, observing our breath or observing the Buddha, yeah, we observe the nice feeling that arises, yeah, as a byproduct, yeah? I mean, the digging the hole, the byproduct will be the hole, yeah? Being with Buddha or being with the breath, you know, the byproduct will be the happiness or peacefulness or whatever it is, yeah? And when we go to the byproduct, you know, we don't do the work and, you know, it fills up again, you know, the whole fills up again, yeah? So we should be careful, yeah? Everybody makes this mistake, you know, I mean, you will make a mistake 10 or 15 times, but tell yourself afterwards, you know, I should not, you know, I should stay, you know, with the Buddha or I should stay with the breath, yeah? You shouldn't go on to this, yeah? Because these things don't last, yeah? And if you have the feeling, you know, and if you do samadhi, yeah? And the feeling, and this nice feeling, you know, whatever it is, you know, maybe it is happiness, maybe it is, it's just, you know, just peacefulness, yeah? Or if it is stillness, yeah? This feeling, if you stay with the Buddha, will increase, yeah? It can become very intense, yeah? It can become even so intense that we think it is dukkha, but it isn't. Yeah. But it will go away. Then it will go away and change to something else. You know, then we go slower, deeper and deeper and deeper. Yeah. The first thing, you know, the first thing that we enter is probably upachara samadhi, you know, or exa samadhi. You know, then when all the thoughts and memories stop, yeah. In the beginning, there are a few thoughts, you know, coming once in a while, coming up, one thought or one memory coming up. But it doesn't bother us, yeah. But, you know, then we go slowly deeper, and then there's no more thought, and there will be no memory, yeah. But we still know, yeah. We still have feeling, the body still have feeling, yeah. And then we go deeper and deeper and deeper, yeah. And then, in the world, you know, I mean, will slowly disappear, and slowly disappear. You know, the outside world, we will not be bothered by any sounds, you know, because the sounds disappear very, very, very far away. Yeah? Until there is only the heart, yeah. And then, you know, I mean, when we get really deep, yeah. I mean, with the breath, it is so that the breath will stop, yeah. And we know that the breath stops, yeah. And then what we have to do is jump into the knowingness. That takes a little bit, yeah, of practice, yeah. Jump into the knowingness, and then everything disappears. Yeah? Then there's just the pure knowingness. The knowingness at the moment, you know, when we train samadhi, is knowing subject knows the object, yeah. So we know the breath, yeah. But when these two objects merge into one thing, yeah, when subject and object merges into one thing, that's what we call one-pointedness, yeah. So there's just the pure knowingness. The pure knowingness doesn't know of any object, yeah? But it knows everything, yeah? But it doesn't know any object, yeah? So that's where the whole universe disappeared, yeah? And whatever happens, you know, around you, time, space, always also disappears, yeah? Some people can carry you away, you know, and you don't even notice, yeah? I mean, there was one, when Lungta gave a, sometimes he gave a talk, you know, normally after meal, he gave a talk and the villagers was listened by, and one of the villagers was sitting there, you know, and just listening, and he entered actually, you know, the deep samadhi, you know, or one-pointedness, yeah? And then when Lungta was finished, you know, he was still sitting there, and then he said, you know, why doesn't he? And they tried to wake him up, but he didn't, yeah? So he said, okay, carry him home, yeah? And then a few hours later, you know, he woke up out of his deep samadhi, yeah? I mean, he didn't know what happened, you know, because the moment, you know, you go into the samadhi, you don't know anything, you know, outside, you know, you don't know anything from this world, yeah? And then he woke up, you know, back in his home. Huh? So he probably asked his neighbor, what happened, yeah? And then they told him, you know, I will be carried you back home because Lungta didn't want you to sit there all day long. No, it is when you enter deep samadhi, it is one moment, yeah? And the next moment you come out. But in this, you know, in this, between going in and coming out, you know, can be hours, yeah? Or can be even days, yeah? So nothing happens, yeah? That's what Lungta Mahabodhi called, you know, the preview of Nibbana. It is a preview of Nibbana. It's not yet Nibbana, because when you come out, you are in the same shithole, yeah? Nothing has changed, yeah? Because this kind of samadhi does not change anything. It gives us just the power, the energy to use, you know, to use the third path, you know, developing panya, developing wisdom, yeah? By investigating, yeah? And the first thing that we investigate, yeah? I mean, when we sit in samadhi, is dukkha vedana. It is the painful feeling, yeah? Huh? When you get up, there's no more painful feeling. Now it is painful, huh? Yeah? When you get up, you know, no more painful. Huh? When you break your leg, you know, no matter if you stand, if you get up, you know, or if you lie down, you know, it's always pain, yeah? So what kind of pain is this? Is this magic pain? But we never asked ourselves. That's why we have to investigate this pain when we sit, yeah? When we do sitting meditation. Or be it the pain, you know, be it the pain of tiredness, you know, when we do the walking meditation. We have to investigate it, yeah? And for tiredness, you know, a nice thing is, you know, I mean, just bring up a situation that makes you angry, you know, and you have lots of energy. Yeah? You're not tired anymore, yeah? And then go back to the Buddha, yeah? Use, you know, I mean, we have to be smart when we do our investigation or when we do our samadhi. We have to be smart. We have to use, yeah, the tricks of the kilesas, but use it for our purpose, yeah? When they make us angry, we have a lot of energy, you know, and we want to kill or, you know, hurt somebody else, yeah? And then we use this energy to go back to the Buddha or to go back to the breath or go back to the investigation, yeah? Use it, you know, get smart, you know, and we have to get smart. Because, I mean, the kilesas, I mean, have ruled us for billions and trillions of lives, you know, I mean, they are smart, they know every nuance of us, yeah? They know how they can trick us. They know how they can, you know, pull us off, you know, yeah? And going back in the world, you know, they paint so many beautiful pictures, yeah? And we always go fall for it, yeah? Yeah? That's why, you know, that's why they have constant control over us, yeah? So we have to undermine the power of these kilesas, yeah? And see, you know, what they are painting and painting, yeah? When they paint something nice and white and rose red, you know, we paint it black, yeah? Huh? And then we have no interest in it, yeah? But if they paint it, you know, make a nice painting, you know, I mean, you splash some black paint on it, you know, and then there's no interest, yeah? So we have to use the same methods, you know, yeah? And so we have to listen, you know, and to see how the kilesas are working, yeah? And then we have to use their tactics, you know, to overthrow them, yeah? Okay, understood? Yeah, a little bit?
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Don't even think that it is hard. Don't think it is easy. Think about it only, now I go one step. That means I go one putto, yeah? When you do walking meditation, just like I told you, yeah, just this one path. Just this one path, you know, it is not so difficult to be with the Buddha or to be with the breath for one path, yeah? Don't think I have to do it for 3 hours because then you stop instantly, yeah? Think about it, just this path, yeah? Or when you sit in samadhi, just this breath. I just want to know this breath very, very, very keen, yeah? Very, very subtle. Every aspect of this breath, or every aspect of this Buddha, yeah? It is the power of observance, yeah? That, that educates our sati, yeah? That, you know, that fosters our sati, yeah? And use, yeah? I mean, now you're in the forest, yeah? I mean, normally you live in the city, yeah? I mean, you're in the forest, observe the animal, observe the ants, or observe the squirrels, yeah? Sit there and observe what they are doing. And this kind of observance you have to do with the breath or with the Buddha. Not judging, yeah? You cannot control these animals. That is the nice thing, yeah? But you can observe, and at the same time we observe them, we know. Huh? We know what they are doing, yeah? We don't have to use our brain yet. Huh? We know exactly. Huh? They go left, right, you know, or they find food, you know, or they found food, you know, they run back, you know, and tell their friends, you know, there's food, you know. I mean, we see it. We know it, yeah? And this kind of observance we have to use with the breath and or with the Buddha, yeah? Know it every moment, you know, the breath is coming in, the breath is at its height, you know, the breath is going out, you know, slowly. Now it is a changing point from in-breath to out-breath, yeah, and so on, yeah. Know, yeah. And use it, you know, I mean, if you don't know what observing the breath or observing the Buddha means, you know, observe some of the animals, yeah. And then maybe you know, yeah, you understand, okay. Today I'm quite exhausted, yeah. Two talks, two long talks, yeah. So if you have any questions, where's Annette? Is it Annette? She's gone.
Yes.
So you understand the Thais, did understand a little bit English, or? Well, if you listen with your heart, you don't have to understand English, yeah? You have any questions, the Indians, yeah? And the rest? No questions, so then go and practice a little bit, yeah? Yeah? Use the time that you are here, you know, I mean, it's precious time, yeah? You have precious time, yeah? Don't sleep, yeah? Or sleep very little, yeah? You can sleep at home, you know, when you go back to India, you can sleep there, you know, 24 hours. Yeah, you use it, yeah. I mean, normally you don't need to sleep more than 4 or 5 hours, yeah. The more we sleep, you know, I mean, the more difficult this is, you know, to get the next day into the same kind of practice, yeah. I mean, if you just sleep, yeah. In the end, you know, it really depends. It depends on your samadhi. But if your samadhi is good, yeah? I mean, sometimes you need only 2 hours of sleep, yeah? It's just resting the body, you know? Once the body wakes up, you know, you go back, you know? And there's not much different. But if you sleep 8 hours and dream a lot, you know, I mean, you have to, all this rubbish that you dream, you know, you have to chuck out, you have to, huh? And there's no use into these dreams, yeah? And people place a lot of emphasis on these dreams. Yeah? They're completely useless, yeah? And when you look at a dream, you know, when you have sati while you're dreaming, you know, you see it, yeah? There are three thoughts that are in the same direction and then they change, yeah? It's just like, you know, when we sit there, you know, there are three thoughts and then it changes the topic, yeah? And then it changes the topic again. So, I mean, most of the dreams doesn't make any sense. Unless it is a lucid dream, yeah? where we can really, you know, where we can really, you know, do something, yeah. But that is not so often, yeah. But even then, you know, I mean, most of them don't have any meaning, yeah. Okay? Understand? Michivindi, do you understand? She hides out. Use the time, Michi Emily, Michi Sunanda, huh? I mean, you are here already 1 year, yeah? The month's the same, yeah? I mean, it has nothing to do with Michis or month, yeah? Ah, it's so nice, you know, I mean, we don't have all this burden, huh? I mean, when we're here in the monastery, we don't have this burden, yeah? So we slack off our effort, yeah? We don't have the dukkha, you know, that brought us here. We always have to remember why we came here, you know, all this dukkha, you know, in the world, yeah? And then the Kalisa says, oh, it's nice to go back into the world. No, it's not nice, yeah? We had a reason to come here, yeah? Okay? Finished.